Good morning, Symphony Church. We're continuing on our journey through 1 Thessalonians, and if you tuned in yesterday, I hope you were able to spend the time in confession and maybe even practice fasting a little bit. In today's passage, Paul continues in giving wisdom to the Thessalonians, and he lays out for them a sort of blueprint for living a life that's pleasing to God. So let me read for us 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So in today's passage, Paul gives a few exhortations to the Thessalonians, and I think it helps to group them into two categories, public life and private life. Now in regards to public life, Paul distills this down to living in brotherly love. He doesn't have much to say about this. After all, in verse 9, he says that concerning brotherly love, the Thessalonians have no need for anyone to write to them, for they themselves have been taught by God to love one another. We've seen throughout this letter so far that Paul is really proud of how well the Thessalonians seem to understand the will of God and the ways in which he wants them to live. So he essentially says, keep practicing listening to the heart that God taught them to have. You don't have to reinvent the wheel or discover some secret to becoming a loving person. God gives us enough direction on how to love our brothers, both in the Word and through his Holy Spirit. You know, consider others more important than yourself. Be like the Good Samaritan. Forgive not 7, but 77 times. Supply your neighbor with what he doesn't have. Break bread together. So on and so forth. All these ways we see through the Bible on what it looks like to be loving to the people around us. And when it comes to our personal lives, we can count on the Spirit to nudge us towards encouraging, forgiving, supporting, and caring in very specific ways to specific people. And I think something that's really cool is that we kind of pick up on this fact that the Thessalonians aren't just being good neighbors to other Thessalonians, but also across the greater region of Macedonia. They didn't just stop at the people that were easy to love and that were easy to be accessible. Their love brought them far beyond the walls of their church and even beyond their city. This is likely one of the things that really delighted Paul, and even more importantly, really delighted God. Paul urges the Thessalonians to do this and more. We see that in verse 10. And so it's important that we follow this example and go beyond our circles of friends or fellow church members. And in all the different contexts and locations and situations we find ourselves in throughout our days, to seek to love the people we meet with the heart of Christ. So that's what Paul says about public life. But Paul also stresses the importance of withdrawing at times as well. He tells the Thessalonians in verse 11 that they should aspire to live quietly. If we look at our lives, I think most of us would hesitate to use quiet to describe it. We're constantly abuzz with work and friends and church, and our parents are calling and we get 100 notifications a day. In both a literal and figurative sense, we live pretty noisy lives. Even when we might feel bored and life might feel slow for a time, we tend to fall into the habit of filling the silence ourselves. Instead of really resting in the quiet that's built into our lives, we look for things to occupy our minds. We watch hours of shows, we put on music so we have something to listen to, we even invite friends over just so we're not alone. So it's no question that Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians is just as important to us, maybe even more so. There's a real peace that comes from living life quietly. It helps us remember that our world is full of things that are vying for our attention. It reminds us to disconnect from these constant voices of influence and reconnect with the voice of God. I might only feel this way because I'm an introvert, but I really believe that I would not be Christian if I never discovered how life-giving quiet can be, and how it allows you space to recenter your heart on Christ and experience his rest and his ministering. So in these ways, in living both a public life and a private life, Paul encourages the Thessalonians to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And a great secondary effect of doing so is walking properly before outsiders, like Paul says in verse 12. By modeling our public and private lives in a biblical way and changing our habits and desires and goals in these areas, we set ourselves apart. Maybe not as starkly as evangelizing or things like that, but over time it really does paint a picture of living a life in step with the Spirit. It shows others that we live for something greater than ourselves, and that there is something within us transforming every part of our lives. So how can we join Paul and the Thessalonians in living a life that is pleasing to God? Well, first, in our public lives as we love one another, let's find a small way to reach outside of our everyday spheres. Maybe you can reach out to an old coworker or a friend or acquaintance you haven't seen in a while, or maybe even someone at our church that you always kind of saw but never really got to know. Or maybe you could take it one step further. Maybe you could reach out to a stranger, maybe someone you see on the bus every now and then, or maybe someone you pass by on the street. You know, just like the Thessalonians reached out beyond their church, let's aim to share our love far and wide. Second, in our private lives as we aspire to live quietly, I challenge you to find some time today for a mini Sabbath of sorts. We might not have the freedom in our schedules to just up and cancel everything today, but try to find an hour or two or three to dedicate some quiet time to God. Paul says in verse 11 that living quietly involves minding our own affairs and maybe even working with our hands. I think that suggests that there are a lot of ways that we can enjoy time together with God. So whether it's spending an extended time in devotion, or even something like going on a walk or cleaning your house, I hope you can disconnect, block off your calendar, and spend some prayerful quality time with our Lord. So these are just two suggestions that I'd like to give to us. And it's really up to us to kind of set these goals and set these applications. So I'll just give us some time before we close to think through these things and open up our hearts to see how the Spirit might guide us to respond. Lord, help us to model our lives, every part of it, both public and private, in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, there are so many different habits and ways of life that we're prescribed to by the world, but instead, I pray that we can just look to you, Lord, that we can look to living in a way that is pleasing to you. I pray you help us to love more and more, to love outside of our circles. And I pray that we can value living quietly. Lord, help us to value that time we have just with you, Lord, not with anything else distracting us from just how amazing your presence can be. So Lord, as we go about today, as we aim to love and as we aim to live quietly, I pray that you can just guide us in doing that, that you can teach us how to do that. And Lord, above all else, may we give you glory and honor and praise today. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.